Summer is heating up, and so are the savings. Sizzling hot deals happening now at Gateway Buick GMC. Save over $8,000 off ticket price on the all-new 2016 GMC Acadia. Lease a brand-new Buick Encore as low as $89 a month. That's right, $89 a month. The brand-new Buick Cascada Convertible is also now available. Visit Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports 920, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 HD2. Do you feel trapped by your factory car stereo system? Are you tired of compromising quality, sound, and features all because you assumed factory systems couldn't be made to sound better? Don't feel bad. You're not alone. The fact is Audio Express offers everything needed to both leave your factory stereo and make it sound so much better, or change out your factory stereo and improve your overall sound and features, like adding Kenwood's all-in-one 12-inch bass system designed to work with factory or aftermarket stereos. You'll be blown away by the overall sound improvement achieved for only $279 installed. Replace your factory speakers with any great-sounding Alpine speaker and get a second set for half price. It's at Audio Express. Check them out online. And check them out at their store there. It's Audio Express, one of our favorite sponsors here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Charlie Marlowe filling in for Tim. Kat is here, and Andy Banker filling in for Doug Vaughn on this fine Tuesday morning.
I do not have a logule, and I do not have the power of suspension, and I do not have an affinity for young men and all of that jazz.
I don't know if Doug has an affinity.
They have an affinity for him.
They do.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And Doug will be back tomorrow, so if you
want
to, yeah, if you want to break out the vial, you can save it up for Doug.
Yes. Think about this. If you're a texter, you've put up with me for like about 3 weeks straight-ish. I think I'll be back next week when you're out. But these guys, these texters, these emailers are chomping at the bit for you, Tim, and Doug to be reunited tomorrow, and it feels so good.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, yesterday, the hot button issue was bike riding, right?
Yes.
So yesterday, I went out because I was guilted into it to buy a helmet, and it's not a good look.
It's a good example, though.
Yeah, but have you seen what one of those things look like? I mean, it looks bad. If you're an older guy in a bicycle helmet, you just can't look good. You just can't look good.
There's nothing looking cool about that.
No, and I was like,
you look like Mike Dukakis in the tank.
That is a good analogy. And so I walk out my front door, and I just was going to get on the bike with the kid, and I don't want anyone to see me. And two neighbors are out there, and they go, first thing they say is, new helmet, huh?
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Just trying to be safe over here.
I mean, it's an enormous thing. It makes you look like your head is...
Did they tweet a photo, I hope?
No, I tweeted that it's not a good look, but someone said, well, tweet a picture, and I was like, no, that's Twitter suicide.
You're like Darth Helmet.
Yeah. I mean, you just...
From Spaceballs.
You can't look good. You
I just thought it was just good. Dark Helmet. Was it Darth Helmet?
Wasn't it Darth?
Dark Helmet.
Dark or Darth? Oh, Dark Helmet.
Mr. Banker is correct.
Dark Helmet.
That's right up
Dark
Sea Monsters helmet. Alley. All those types of
Little
movies.
Mel Brooks.
Lord Helmet, I think we referred to him a couple of times.
Okay. Lord Helmet.
And, I apologize.
Prince Valium, remember? Okay.
Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man texting in, hey, Charlie, can you throw a guy a bone and tell me what kind of slacks Mr. Banker is sporting? And actually, he has cargo shorts, which is a hot-button topic with Kat. He thinks I make fun of them, which
no,
I really
a lot
don't.
Of people, that's like in is to make fun of cargo shorts, and I've said this, and I'll say it again. If cargo shorts are wrong, I don't want to be right. They give you, you know what, they give you extra pockets. There seems to be a more liberal amount of material in the lower region for comfort.
Yes.
So I'm all cargo.
And with children, you right? have to have cargo shorts because they have so much damn cargo. You have so much crap to carry.
Here's what I think the issue with it is. It's women not liking them on the guys from a fashion standpoint because guys were more about utility. We're more about practicality.
Women don't like them?
Oh, women hate them. My fiance hates them. She makes fun of my cargo shorts all the time. I have this pair of camouflage cargo shorts, which I love. And I think she may have thrown them away, to be honest with you. I haven't, now that I think about it, I haven't seen them in a while. But women hate men in cargo shorts. Where,
what are we supposed to wear?
We have all kinds of stuff. You have sunglasses. You have chapstick. You have a wallet. You have keys. You have your cell phone. You might have stuff for your kids. Maybe it's hot outside. You have some sunscreen. You need these pockets.
Yes, sunscreen.
And if purses were outlawed and they had to be like normal people like us men, where would they carry all this said gear? I mean, we can't carry
the
man purse. So you kind of have to.
Thank you.
I like the utility pockets. Kat, I know we're about, what, 20, 30 years apart?
50 years apart.
Something like that. I completely agree with you on the cargo short. I think it's a very underrated pant.
Yeah.
Lousy could be your son. Wait a minute.
He'd be a fine son.
Have you ever taken a good look at Plowsy?
I'll take that. I think I would have a goodwill pat down on me from the
cat. Call him Dad. Let me hear it.
Thanks, Dad.
Hey!
Except he can't be because he's a Tim Lemming, and he wants Tim to be his father. He is a total Tim Lemming.
I think we got the adoption papers on the table right now, currently just waiting for the signature.
But I don't care if people want to rip cargo shorts. You know what else I have, which is the ultimate in Hoosier wear? I have camo. Cargo shorts.
Camo cargo.
I do also, and I love them.
And I'm going to wear them.
Got to dig
camo
cargo.
No, they hate that. My wife hates it because they do look a little sloppier. But it's like I'm riding a bike or we're going to Target. Like
that's my whole point. It's one thing. They don't ever take into account that you're dressing for the occasion. If you're walking around the house, if you're running errands, if you're going to Target and the gas station, all that, who cares if you're wearing cargo shorts? I'm fine. Now, I get it. Okay, if I'm going to go to something a little nicer, you put on a nicer
short. Like a clam bake.
A clam bake. Put on your nicer. I have some Nautica shorts that are very nice, but I also like my cargo shorts.
Well, you like to brag about the money.
No, I'm just saying. She's bought all of this for me. I would have still had only cargo shorts if it wasn't for her purchasing the newer shorts.
Let me ask you this, Andy.
What are you supposed to wear? What are we supposed to wear?
Just a normal
for our women
docker
to think we're
type short with no cargo pocket.
Do you have blue jeans? You have some blue jeans?
Yeah, I have some blue jeans.
How many wearings before washing a pair of jeans?
Man, until they're dirty or they stink.
How many?
I don't know. I think you can get by a week. I mean a week. I mean a week straight, like if you wore them every day for a week.
Yes.
So I'm talking probably every 2 months.
I can't do it.
Most people agree with me on this over you, Kat.
You wash them every time, Kat?
Every like other time, maybe. You know why? Because I just like I'm not Mr. Cleanliness. My wife, if she's listening, will back that up. But there are certain things like I have to shower a lot. I have to wear clean clothes.
Well, I'm down with that.
I can't like when you put on a pair of jeans that you've worn a couple times. You put them on and they don't have that clean feel.
Oh, I agree. But it depends on how many like if you wear them a couple of times. Like to me, I might wear them to church for an hour on a Sunday.
That's fine.
That doesn't even count.
That doesn't even count.
But that's what I meant by the smell. If I pick them up and they, to me, it's the smell test. If they smell a certain way, and I don't know how to describe it, but it's like if you grab them and
we all know
smell
what you're
them before
at.
You're putting them on, it's like, no, but it's not like BO smell. It's just like
it's worse.
Not clean jean smell.
Like Charlie said he wore his touring the Grand Canyon where it was like 95 degrees.
I was running
and
in them.
And he just put them back on a hanger and they magically got clean on their
own. No. You know we got to wash those, Chuck.
Yet another lie from Jimmy the Cat Hayes, the prince of misinformation. All that I said months ago, and this conversation probably came about organically, was that to me there's a difference. There's the clothes that touch your body intimately on an everyday basis. Underwear, socks, undershirts, wife beaters. Those you wash, obviously, after every single solitary use. A sweater, a hooded sweatshirt, and jeans.
This is a form of disinformation.
And jeans. No. Jeans, you don't have to wear. You don't have to wash every time.
This is what a
use. You have the wife beaters? Are you wearing one?
I wear wife beaters almost every single day.
Do you wear those?
This has been discussed many times.
Like when you run to Walgreens or Target, you ever go in just the wife beater?
No, I wouldn't do that. But I would. I mean, I'll walk around. I've walked around the condo area walking my dog in a white beater.
What's wrong with the sleeves?
It's more of just like if your dog has to go to the bathroom and you take him out real quick, or you're taking out the garbage, I'm not going to get dressed for that.
Kat, do you wear a standard undershirt or do you wear the wife beater?
I don't wear undershirts. It's too much clothing for me.
But you said you sweat a lot and you have to shower a lot. Maybe if you had an undershirt, it would help keep that all.
And trust me, it's going to sweat through onto the shirt. I'm not saving the shirt.
This is an eye-opener. Chuck Marlowe with the wife beater. Your girl doesn't like the cargo shorts. What does she think of that?
She hates the wife beater as well. She hates basically everything about me.
But here's what you were doing.
Just kidding.
Like if you use like used car salesman speak. What you do is, hey, if a guy wants to trade in his car and buy a new one, oh, now if this were a 79 version with the automatic trans, then you would have gotten more money. So you lay out what the good thing is. Oh, but this isn't the case. My point is, the main thing is, you said you wore your jeans like 12 times without washing them. That's, to me, that's the that's what you said. It was like a
I'm
dozen
I'm saying
times.
Over the course of a month, if you're wearing jeans,
12 times
outerwear.
Between washing. No, and how about this? On a hot day, you can say it
that's
doesn't
different.
Make contact
you don't wear
with your
jeans in the summer when it's 97 degrees out. You wear them in the winter. You wear them in the fall when it's nice and pleasant and there's not a lot of humidity. Hey, we have to go to the appliance discounter phone lines because the title sponsor of this show is joining us right now. It is Ryan Kelly. And he's going to climb another mountain and is training for that right now. Isn't that right, Ryan?
You know what? I'm actually I'm on the road right now, marching, and I don't think you'd call it running or hiking. I got a 35-pound weighted vest on. It's getting a little hot, and I'm about mile 4.5, and I can almost see my office building. So walked into the office today, weighted vest. Just been training for this for a while. You know, I don't know if you know this, Charlie, but CBS Sports 920 is actually how I got involved with Friends of Kids with Cancer about 2 years ago doing a toy drive. And I fell in love with the organization. The things that they do for these families are unbelievable. So you're right. Next week, I'm heading out to Seattle, Washington. Quick drive down to Mount Rainier. And it's about a 3.5-day summit to the top. And hopefully I can get it done this time and get up and down safely. But the real reason for this isn't just the climb. It's about raising dollars for the kids. That's what I love doing. Heck, I tell you, I might love that more than mortgages. But we do it every year. We try to raise a lot of money. We launched the campaign yesterday. I'd encourage all the listeners, 5, 10, 20, 100 bucks, whatever. I mean, some of you guys are really blessed. I'm seeing the pictures on the fan page with all that cash. kids can really use it, man. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. And then click the Mount Rainier tab. Tell us a story about SSM Cardinal Glennon, Friends of Kids with Cancer, and my good friend Alec Ingram. So I'll leave it with that. I'm Ryan Kelly, The Home Loan Expert. TheHomeLoanExpert.com, Mount Rainier. Make the donation today, man. The kids could really use it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Appreciate it. Good luck with the training there. Ryan Kelly joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Training to climb Mount Rainier.
That is very cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Very cool.
Very cool.
And he's right about the charity Friends of Kids with Cancer.
A lot of people in the text line wanted me to ask him if he was wearing cargo shorts or an undershirt.
I thought of asking him the same thing. You know, a texter, Andy, said cargo shorts are the minivan of short pants.
That's fair.
And that's true.
They're
I
a dad.
Now
they're
that
a dad
I think about it, yeah.
It's dad gear.
It's like you might as well be driving a minivan.
Do you have a minivan?
Not anymore.
But you used to because you have three kids.
Yeah.
Three kids, you probably need it. I have one, so I'm not having a minivan.
I didn't care when I drove a minivan. I felt pretty – I would – you know, if the kids weren't in the minivan, if it was just dad solo in the minivan, I'd have the windows down and the
music cranking. 70, music cranking. The 70s music.
Yeah. A little
CCR.
No, I was thinking of Brandy by Looking Glass.
Looking Glass. Fine girl. You're a
just
fine
singing.
Girl.
You look over, you see Andy Banker from the Two Fox. Then he helps you give birth.
I can just relate to that song because, you know, I've had a woman or two where I just had to say, hey, my life, my love, and my lady is the sea.
Except it's journalism, though.
Sorry.
Your sea is journalism.
My life, my love, and my lady is journalism.
Somebody in the text line from the 618 says, I could go 3 months without washing jeans.
Well, I could, too, if I didn't wear them. To me, it's the smell. And Kat has, maybe his legs can smell. He can feel the clean. I can smell the clean.
I like putting on clean things. Like I said, I'm not overly, like, neat or anything. I just, when it comes to showering, personal hygiene, and clothes. I need clean clothes.
One of the best smells is the fresh linen. Like if you're buying scented candles, the fresh linen. I like the way stuff smells right out of the dryer.
Right out of the dryer, right? Yeah. And then you put that on, you feel better about the day. And in your case, you know, you go to your closet and there's
dark fungus
stank
and mold. There's animals in there.
And you put them on. It's like, I'm putting on a sheet of
dirt. They're wet. Yeah. It's bad. No, but I have.
And then
my,
you know
I
what he did? You know what he did? You know what he did, Andy? He said, "Well, I don't know about you, but I have $300 jeans." Like he started playing like the, I'm a fashion guru, so I spend a lot of money for my.
First of all, again, I don't purchase them; they're purchased for me. I never said 300; they were 200.
I embellished.
And you know what? I will say this: I am the cheapest person on this planet. We've talked about it. I go to Aldi, as Kat puts his sunglasses on to bring heat here in the studio indoors.
There's a big window here.
I know, and I will shop at a spot and get very cheap things, but I will say this, after wearing more expensive jeans, they're worth it.
I am not an Aldi.
They're absolutely worth it.
I just can't do Aldi. It's not because I'm upper crusty.
You know, he loves Aldi.
I know he does.
They're going organic.
You've got to put a quarter in the machine to get a shopping cart.
It's not a machine, it's a cart.
I know, I can't do that. I'm not going to the airport.
You think you're too good for it?
No,
You think you're better than Aldi. Just admit it.
No, I
just
don't.
Just admit it.
You are missing some great text, by the way. Someone wanted to know how I look in a Speedo.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like Michael Phelps, right? You guys can tell that looking at me.
You actually do look like you. How often do you work out? You look like you work out regularly.
How many times a day?
Yeah.
Two.
How many sessions?
Two a day.
Two a days. I'm in two a days.
But right what now. Do you actually do?
Working out wise?
Yes. Yeah.
Very little. I'm nursing a back injury right now, though. Although I did go to my old college town on April 30th, and I ran 26.7 miles for the Illinois Marathon. My one and only. I'll never do it again.
And when was that?
It's crazy.
April 30th, and I was mad because I ran the 26.2, and I had it on my phone tracker thing or whatever, and I was like, why am I not done? And people along the route were like, oh no, you got about a mile down to the stadium, but it's all downhill from here. And I'm like, hey, my beeper went off. How could it be longer?
Because someone like Charlie was in charge of measuring it out.
Now, I have they a cousin who said, well, a cousin of mine said if you run, it's like veering.
Yeah.
You know, they run it on the center line or whatever, and if you're it would rain the whole time. We were dodging water puddles, and if you run over for a water drink or whatever, it can add. And over the course of 26, I added another half mile or more.
Back when I ran, after you get to a certain point where you can run distances, then it takes longer, and that makes it less convenient to run.
Yes.
So I would just do hills or run faster so I didn't have to take more time. Now I do nothing, except I'm toying with the idea since I have the bike. And I have, in the morning when I get up, I might get up a few minutes earlier and go out and take like a 30-minute bike ride and try to
do a
fast pace. I don't know if that's much of a workout, but better than nothing.
It's got to be.
Those mountain bikes, too. You get the trail bikes, and it's like, hey, this is the one you should get. And then you try to ride those on pavement. And it's not that easy because they got big, fat tires.
It's the big, fat tires. Yeah,
They're not designed for that.
No. I think you need one of those. Do they call them road bikes? What do you call them?
I don't know.
You can have a hybrid.
Like a cycler bike.
Well, you don't want a big tire tread.
Have a big tire tread.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to go to Grant's Trail, you can either have the racing bike or you can have a hybrid that's kind of for
both. You ever see the velodrome up in North St. Louis?
No.
Just out in the middle of nowhere in a relatively high crime area or not far from one. There's just a velodrome sitting out there.
And what is that?
That's where. Have you ever seen the cycling?
Yeah.
Contest on in the Olympics.
Pretty cool.
It's a cycling track, where it's very steep and banked. Yeah. And there's just one out there made out of pavement or blacktop or concrete or something.
Well, I'm not going there. I'm going to go in my neighborhood. I'm going to try to find a little trail where I can go, a little path where I can go up a hill, down a hill, and try to knock it out quickly.
The hill. What Andy brought up, and he did a full marathon. and this was a couple years ago, I guess it was fall of 13, I did a half marathon. And what you said, you know, you have the Map My Run app in your phone, so when you're training, you can write down how many miles you did and your times and all that. So I had that going during the race. And it's a good way, as you know, because your first mile, it says you've reached 1 mile and your time is eight minutes and 17 seconds. You're like, all right, I'm on a good pace. But I hate running, first of all, so much. And towards the end of that race, it was just such a mental grind. As you said, in the Map My Run, it would say you have now reached 8 miles. But it wasn't 8 miles on the course because of the way it was measured.
Yeah.
Like I'd have to go another 2/10 of a mile to get to 8 miles. So it was really annoying in your head when the device is telling you 11 miles and you're like, no, I still have to go another now 3/10 of a mile to get to 11. And it kind of messes with you.
Kat's right about those training runs. You know, I'd say to my kids, okay, I'm going to do my run.
See you in four hours.
See you in like 3 hours or four hours.
And then once you're done, it's not like you're going to jump in and play with your kids.
Oh,
you need to recover.
Oh, yeah. I'd get home and they'd be like, what happened?
Yeah.
Did you get shot?
Right.
Yeah. Kind of.
That's what happens when you have kids. I used to run all the time and go to the gym, and now I can't.
You know what I did after I ran that, though? I stayed in a hotel, had to check out because you start at like 7 in the morning. You tell me that this is bad form. Nobody knew me up there, and so that was nice. I went back to the hotel, and it took me quite a long time to run my marathon. I mean, you know.
How long?
Reasonable.
5?
Yeah, right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care if you finish.
That's good.
Yeah. And I was running smooth until mile 19. Then all of a sudden, I was like, holy crap, my legs don't work. I had to grab a stop sign and pull my heel to my butt just to get my knees to still function. But anyway, after the race or whatever you call it, I went back to the hotel because they had a hot tub. And I walked in as if I was still a paying guest.
Oh, that's fine.
Is that all right?
That's nothing. We've had someone on the show who wasn't staying at a hotel and picked me up at the hotel to take me to the ballpark.
The ballpark?
And he would eat the free buffet, which is bad enough. But I figured, all right, he's picking me up. Most days I don't even eat the buffet. So he's having mine. Then I saw the day he wasn't picking me up, he still went to my hotel and had the buffet.
I like that. None other than Doug Tunafish Vaughn, and I would do the same. Hey, at Captain Jim's Fireworks, they're on Highway 367 between the bridges in West Alton, Missouri, in the same parking lot as Dirt Cheap. They are the permanent building, it's not a tent, with concrete floors to keep customers cool and dry. They have the best products at the best prices, and every item is handpicked every year to make sure they only carry the best. They have the no dud guarantee. This show should have that. If we have a dud show.
We couldn't.
That's a problem, as it happens too often. They have the no dud guarantee. If you have an item that does not fire properly, just bring it back and they'll exchange it, no questions asked. It is Captain Jim's Fireworks, again, located on Highway 367 between the bridges in West Alton, Missouri, in the same parking lot as Dirt Cheap. Do you guys like to fire off all the fireworks for 4th of July coming up here? And the kids love it. The kids love the fireworks.
I love it, but I don't do it anymore because it's too dangerous. But we will go somewhere where they have professionals doing it.
Who do it. You know what? You can buy some high-powered crap for your backyard now. It's unbelievable, the stuff.
And dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
You could set your neighbor's house on fire, too. If you're in like a regular suburban area, shoot some up and, land it on the neighbor's roof. Hope that doesn't catch.
Oh, there'd be at least one story, you know, in St. Louis. During the 4th of July week.
Or Jason Pierre-Paul.
I like this text. Marlo trained by putting a Twinkie on the end of a stick tied to his back. He ran for days.
Hey.
That's pretty good.
Whatever
that
it
would
takes.
Work for me, although for me, I think it would be a Hostess cupcake.
I would like a fudge round.
What's a fudge round?
Or an oatmeal cream pie.
That's like a Little Debbie's thing,
that's
right?
A Little Debbie's.
I don't know the brand, but yeah.
What's a fudge round?
Fudge round is a fudge version of an oatmeal cream pie. All chocolate, all fudge. It's fantastic.
I actually think the Little Debbie Hostess cupcake knockoff is better than the original.
Well, Debbie, serious. There's some serious.
I mean, it's like the cake is creamier.
It's quality.
It's moist.
It's one of those things, too, where you're in the gas station, you're on a road trip, you want to eat healthy, Maybe you try to get the granola bar, but then you see the Little Debbie stand. You're like, man, this stuff is so much better.
Swiss roll or something.
Swiss roll, nutty bar.
You know, I think about this. Like, you see candy bars advertised on television all the time. You know, like various, you know.
Right.
I can't even remember.
Snickers.
Yeah, but it's like, are people like, it just seems like that time has passed. Like, there might have been a time where people were like, hey, let's go down to the store and get a candy bar. I don't think – do people do that anymore?
I would think kids would more than people our age.
My kids don't eat candy bars.
No,
though,
not
really.
A candy bar.
But you also – is that because you've taught them?
No,
not
I mean
to?
like we just went to the mall and they have like a little candy store so he gets gummy worms or something like that.
Right.
He's never said, hey, I want a Kit Kat, which I think is probably his bag because Kit Kats are awesome. But who goes and buys a candy bar anymore? Yet they're still advertised. I assume they're moneymakers.
They're all over the place in the stores. And you know what? If you want just a regular candy bar, it's like $1.39 now.
It's crazy. I remember back in my day.
You remember? Remember we get a hamburger for a nickel.
Back in my day. Hey, let's listen to some more fun with audio. We have a couple clips here. Actually, I guess we have four. We've already played two of them. We played the Steve Kerr audio. We played the WWE audio. How about Stephen A. Smith?
Can we replay the WWE audio?
Let's not. Maybe,
oh, okay.
Maybe we can end the show with that. We can sign off and then leave a minute and a half early and play the WWE clip. How about Stephen A. Smith, though? Apparently speaking the truth about one O.J. Simpson.
If I was on that jury, we'd still be there because I wouldn't have voted him not guilty. I think he's guilty. Now, I don't give a damn what anybody says. I think that O.J. Simpson killed Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. This man got off with double murder. I believe that the evidence was clear. I have profound respect for the late Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul. But if it might be the cockiest thing that I've ever said, because if it were me, there's no way in hell Johnny Cochran would have beaten me with that evidence that they had. I'm telling you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. There is no way that you would have put 12 jurors in front of me with that evidence, and I would have lost to even the Johnny Cochran. I'd have won that trial. I've often said that because I think OJ's guilty as hell.
Is that really a hot take, though? Isn't that kind of what everybody thinks?
No.
Most people?
I don't know. I remember back because I watched the whole trial. And
no,
I
my point
he was
though.
Guilty, but I think as time has gone on, more people have kind of pushed toward that.
But that's my point. Stephen A. Smith, he's saying this in 20 years of hindsight.
I don't think he would have beaten Johnny Cochran. I mean, I just don't think it would have happened. And the juice still had a lot of juice back then. I mean, now that he's been in prison for a while, everybody thinks, you know, he doesn't have the same kind of leverage that he had back then. He was still a star.
Yeah, and I remember back then where it was clear to me that he was guilty. I think it was along racial lines. A lot of people felt like there was a rush to judgment and there wasn't enough evidence. Rational people, smart people, that I couldn't even accept. I couldn't even figure out where they were coming from. But they saw it differently.
I guess Stephen A. will not be helping Juice track down the real killer.
Yeah, and you know, I was 12 when it was going on, so I wasn't old enough or wise enough to really understand all that was going on. But I think to say there wasn't enough evidence, I just think, and I'm not trying to get into a big picture argument, but it's so easy to create reasonable doubt. But all you have to do is just kind of look at everything going on. I mean, it's not an easy or it's not a difficult situation to look at. I mean, he was also running from the cops.
They also had,
you know
they,
what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I know the whole show with the glove, that was just theatrics. I mean, I think anybody with a brain that's not the ultimate conspiracy theorist is like, yeah.
But you mentioned it. You need to create doubt. They did have Mark Furman who lied on the stand, and then they attached him to some racist statements that to a lot of people said, I can't trust anything the cops say now.
So no, I understand that. I understand
part,
from
that,
a
that part I get.
From a procedural issue or standpoint, I totally get that. But I think, again, anybody that just is a normal person who looks at the situation and reads about it and watches TV is like, yeah, he did it.
Except for the fact that to have this conspiracy with all the cops who didn't know each other in terms of the chain of command of evidence, it couldn't have happened for them to commit this conspiracy.
To conspire.
Because they didn't know each other, and this would have had to be prearranged. All right, you take the blood here. As I recall, it was impossible for that to happen. But I understand you have a cop who was caught lying on the stand, right? They got him lying on the stand, and people say, okay, I don't trust the cops. I get that.
The juice told me to my face he did not do it.
Did you interview him?
I interviewed the juice.
That's very cool.
At Lambert Airport.
You don't remember this?
I guess this was before you were here. So he was in town doing an autograph show or some sort of thing, and we had a beat on it. And the thing is, anytime he made money, he was supposed to, that was supposed to be garnished or whatever, to go toward the payment, because he had already lost the civil trial to Ron Goldman's parents, one of whom is Sharon Ruffo, who lives in St. Louis. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Ron Goldman's mother is from the St. Louis, or lives in the St. Louis area. And I've talked to Sharon many times, but we sort of had a, I shouldn't say this word, but our news director at the time sort of had a bounty. Whoever gets OJ gets a steak dinner. And we're like, yeah, no one's going to get OJ. And they tried to give us a slip. The slip, we had the organizers of the show tell us, yeah, he's at the hotel. He'll wait for you here. And we drove by there and waited about 15 minutes. I'm like, he isn't coming down. They just said the whole, it was the Airport Hilton or one of them over there. And it just had, the whole vibe was like, the juice is not here. So we just went and sat at the airport. I'm like, let's just sit here. And this was pre-9/11, so you could just sit at the airport. And I'm talking with photographer Mark Parsons. Did you know him, or was he gone?
I've heard of him.
And we're sitting there talking, and I'm going, this is so stupid. You know, we're sitting at the airport like the juice is going to be walking up. I'm not kidding. The minute we were saying that, Mark, and we're facing the terminal, right? So he sees him out of the rearview mirror from the, you know, on the windshield of the car. And he goes, oh, my God, there he is. And I go, shut the F up. And he's already out of the car going back to get his camera. I'm like, holy crap, it's the juice. And I ran out there.
Can I get an autograph?
Yeah, and he's already walking in the doors or getting ready. You know, he's walking down the sidewalk to go into the doors. I'm like, Mr. Simpson. And he stopped, and we talked forever. And I asked him about all of that, and I said, I sort of roundabout it. I didn't just say, did you kill your wife? I said, but is it true what they say? You know, you killed your wife and Ron. You know, you owe him the money. And he's like, no, and she knows better than that. And blah, 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 blah. She's never going to get a dime out of me because, you know. And he went on and on and on. And then Mark followed him all the way to where you check in and show your ID at the baggage screening. So we've got video of him all the way through the thing, and he's looking at the photographer, Mark Parsons, and he addresses him, and it's all on camera. He's like, look, I was nice and gave you an interview. You're really going to have to just leave me alone. But then he just kept walking and laughing, and he's like, this guy's good. This guy's good. He's dogging me, you know. It didn't seem like, I'm like, okay, the juice goes to every city, so everyone probably tries to get him. But it was a big deal. Like, he was flying to Miami, and they wanted to know, well, do you know what plane he's on? I'm like, yeah. So we told them, they got him down there, too.
So what year was this? It must have been relatively.
I don't know. It was pre-9/11.
But, I mean, was it close to
No, it wasn't pre-9/11. It was a Channel 2. It was post-9/11.
That's a long, I mean, that's, so you're talking a decade after
the
trial.
I guess we couldn't sit there. We just left the car.
Did you get
the juice.
Did you get your steak dinner?
No. Never did. Brad Remington, the news director at Channel 2 at the time, the guy who hired me there, still owes me the damn steak dinner.
You know, it's just like a good steak dinner is going to Gateway Buick GMC for a really good deal on an oil change.
That's the Marlowe week.
Yeah.
It's in Hazelwood. They have 38 service bays to get you in, out, and back on the road. This month, enjoy a $39.95 oil change along with a four-tire rotation and multi-point vehicle inspection for as low as $39.95. Call today to book your appointment at 314-895-1600. I can never remember what we've talked about on this show, but I have not yet watched the new OJ 5-part series, 30 for 30, which is on, ABCN, ESPN. And I tried to DVR it. Did not work out, but
it's hard to DVR because it's on ABC one night, and then it's on ESPN one night, isn't it?
Today's Tuesday now. They're going to play the second part tonight, I believe, at 9, and they're going to re-air the first part at 7. And that might be Eastern time, so check your local listings, but they're going to air the first one tonight at 6 or 7, And then the second one's going to be at, I guess, 8 or 9.
It just doesn't seem, and it still almost seems too fresh for me to take a historic look at it. You know, it just, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's been all that long ago, but I guess it's been 20 years.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I remember I was watching the NBA playoffs with the Bronco chase.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not going to interrupt oh, this is good. And so they split screened it, and I was fascinated by it. And then what did we just hear yesterday? That the reason why they took so long in the Bronco was because O.J. was listening to the
basketball game.
Basketball game.
That's what's crazy, too, about car chases. And I'm sure you have sometimes a feed at work. And if there's a car chase anywhere in the United States of America, and you'll look up at the feed, you know, you have all the different monitors that has different feeds from different cities. It's just hard not to watch the car chase because it's always going to end. It's fascinating television. Just to watch a random stranger in a car chase, you want to see how it unfolds.
Let alone O.J.
Let alone O.J. Simpson, one of the most famous athletes on the planet.
And that was one of the first ones I think anyone really watched. You know, that's the first like live car chase from the helicopter that I can ever remember.
But apparently
seeing.
In L.A., they've been doing that for years.
All the time. Yeah,
from the helicopter. The ratings boost when you got a car chase.
I think I was working in Dayton, Ohio at the time, but I was home for the at my family's house in Millstadt, and I was getting ready to go hook up with some friends, you know, from town here, and that we were watching the game, and that popped on, and I'm standing there with my mother, and all of a sudden I sat down, and I'm like, we sat there and watched that for hours. I don't even know if I went out.
And I watched the trial because I was fascinated by it, and just because I'm fascinated by the whole legal process. I thought the prosecution was awful, and I thought they opened the door for not guilty, and think they did a very good job.
I just think it's too easy to create that reasonable doubt. Like how often do you have the smoking gun? You almost never have an eyewitness to these things happening. So you have to take the evidence, I think, and kind of use your brain to deduce what happened. And too often, like you said, and I get it, procedurally, they point more towards the other side messing up,
right.
And that kind of takes you off of thinking about what actually happened to think about it more in a legalese sense. And, yeah, that's where it's easy to point out any time procedurally you messed up, somebody lied, somebody said something wrong, somebody changed their story. Everybody focuses on that except for all of this evidence.
And they called
it, there's a lot
I think
of
they use the term jury nullification when the jury picks out one part of the case, and then they say we're not even considering the other elements of the case based on the fact that we don't trust it because of this. I think it's called jury nullification, and that's what we saw. But like I said, I didn't think the prosecution did a very good job, and the fact that the defense didn't know about the defense did know about Furman, and the prosecution put him on as a witness without knowing. I mean, there were some mistakes made.
Just think of how awful that is, though. I mean, to all these years later, if you're Nicole Brown's family or the Goldmans, you know, I don't even – you put yourself in Sharon Rufo's shoes, or I've met Nicole's sister who really got involved in the domestic violence awareness and charitable efforts. I've interviewed her a few times, and she looks like her sister. And you're just sitting there, I'm like, my God, you just can't believe that you got to live this.
Yeah, and like his father, I mean, he seems tortured by it. I've seen interviews, you know, for years, and you know, it's his son, and there was never true justice.
And he just knew her because he worked at the restaurant she went to, and maybe you know they had a fling. Who knows? Whatever. But I'm like, good God.
But also, when Nicole Brown Simpson has told family members and friends beforehand, hey, if anything happens to me, it's going to be O.J. When she says things like this, that's my whole point.
It's 911 call.
Yes. Like I understand legal procedure.
He's beating me again.
For us, you know, we weren't on the jury. We can look at everything and go, yeah, he did it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like with 99% confidence, I feel like most people can say.
Have you ever been on a jury?
I haven't. I've never even been called.
It's really, I was one in the city and the whole process and the fact that it took folks from all different parts of the community, all different races, you know, backgrounds and everything. And on my case, everyone put all that aside, you know, whatever differences they may have as people, and actually tried to do the right thing. And it, having done that, which I tried to get out of, you know, as hard as I could, but once I did it, I was like, that restored my faith in the system, because everyone, as citizens, came together and tried to do the right thing.
But also, and I agree with you, but didn't you just say that, in a way, in that OJ case, and it happens a lot in other cases, you can out-lawyer the truth, in a way. You know what I'm saying? Or at least you can out-lawyer the other team to a point where people look at it like,
I
you
agree.
Won.
And, but not all juries are the same. I felt like I was on a jury that, like I said, covered the whole spectrum, and everyone just discussed it in a civil, like we were a team.
What was the case? What kind of case?
It was a robbery and a shooting where no one was killed, but a robbery and a shooting, and it was clear that the cops did a crummy job. And it was, by the evidence, it was clear. And we all felt like the guy did it, but they didn't have enough evidence. And everyone was on board. And it took a few days to get through everything. At the end, they said, and the judge was really nice and respectful of our time and everything. The judge said, at the end, we have the defendant and we have the prosecution. If any of the jury members would like to say anything. And the defendant was there, like, thinking we were going to embrace him. And everyone thought he did it. And no one said a word to him. And everyone apologized to the prosecution, saying, we think you did a good job, but you didn't have enough evidence.
Wow. Wow.
That's a shame.
And they served...
Yeah, but that's the way it works. Yep. That's the justice system.
And they served fried chicken from the place over in Soulard that's famous for fried chicken that I've never...
Hodak's.
That place is fantastic.
Wow, that was good.
You made got me Hodak's? Want to stick
around. Yeah. Did you say,
during
hey,
deliberations,
can we,
they
did you
brought
say,
Hodak's?
Hey, let's deliberate a couple more days here. Let's
Maybe
really
I ought to go
sure
get picked.
Get this right.
Because if you live in the city, I mean, your number comes up for the jury pool like every 3 years. It's clockwork. There's no way around it. So you got to go. A friend of mine just Facebooked yesterday, guess where I am? And it's a picture from that jury selection room downtown. So everybody knew where he was. But my thing is, you get to the point where they're like, does anybody know prosecutors or have relatives on the police force? And I always got to raise my hand. I'm like, I know this is coming. You guys make me come here. I'm not going to get picked, right? And the attorneys start realizing who you are. And that, the defense attorneys.
We get it. You're on TV.
No, but they're going to say, we don't want the guy that covers crimes and gets tips from cops and prosecutors all the time who's got friends in these offices.
You know, I got so out of it six times. And finally, I said, because here's my thing. It's not true. I didn't feel this way, but it helped get me. I said, if you're on television and you're on a jury and it's a case that involves some sort of violent crime, they know who you are. That's not fair to ask me to do that. So finally, they said, you had to go before a judge to plead your case to get out of it again. And I walk in, and there's a judge and a bailiff. And the judge says, all right, Kat, what's the story?
Did
he? Said, hey, Kat, love the show. He listened to the show.
He said, hey, what's the deal with Gritchick?
he said, I'll put you on a case that won't take long and doesn't involve violence. And I said, okay. And it was a shooting. But it was fine, and it was actually a good experience. Not that I won't be trying to get out of again if I'm called.
Sure. Speaking of good experiences, anytime you go to Bertarelli Cutlery, it's a great experience. They have a wide array of sharpening solutions for the professional kitchen. They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and much more. Service all major brands of food prep equipment. No business is too big or too small for their family service. The highest quality cutting boards on the market. Go visit The Hill and check out their new showroom. Mention them and receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. Speaking of knives with OJ.
I was hoping you wouldn't go there.
Great.
That's unfortunate.
I tried to subtly go there.
About the cutlery place, and then we had them on the 2 Fox one morning when I anchored the weekend mornings back in the day. You could bury a knife in your backyard, Kat, and have your son dig it up when he's 50 and go into Bertarelli and they'd sharpen it up, and it'd be like me.
Like brand new?
They did that. They pulled out knives that have been buried in backyards. And
I'm going to go bury a knife today. Thank you for that. So my
that
son
could be
will
an
have
heirloom.
An heirloom.
There you go.
I we don't talk NBA a lot.
I was just going to start talking about the NBA. Look at this right here.
But I did see something last night. Like, Kevin Love is on an island now with the Cavaliers, right? He was awful again. He missed his first few shots. And did you see the LeBron thing when he just wanted to high-five LeBron, and LeBron wouldn't do it, and then yelled at him? Did you see that? No, I didn't see it.
I only saw that fourth quarter.
You should go. It's all over the internet. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. Did you see that, Charlie?
I did not see that.
I actually did, and it's similar to like when a kid gets a base hit and he's looking for approval from his father, but he's one of those strict dads that goes, well, you could have made that single into a double. So instead of giving him praise for what he did, he's yelling at him for what he didn't do.
But it was worse. It was like love is like, hey, we got this. Way to go, LeBron. It wasn't even about something he did because he didn't do anything in the game. And he went to high-five LeBron, like, way to go, and LeBron wouldn't do it and instead yelled at him.
Love's face there.
He looked defeated.
It looked like if he could have traded himself right after that game, he would have. Like, he was just done.
Wow.
But you don't expect that the Warriors will shoot like they couldn't hit anything, particularly in the fourth.
No.
They're going to win that, aren't they?
I would think, but Kyrie Irving in the fourth looked like Steph Curry.
They got a two-man game. Golden State has more pieces, and they just didn't play well collectively.
And they didn't have Draymond,
who's their most versatile player.
Maybe that hurt them more than anybody thinks. I was just surprised they didn't get it done at home. I thought, especially with it being close going into the fourth quarter and tied at half, I thought, okay, this is setting up for them. But how many did LeBron and Irving both had 40-plus?
They both had 41.
I mean, those guys were...
Okay, that is funny. I just looked at it just now.
I've never seen anything like that.
And it's early in the game. It's the first quarter. And he's like, are you serious, dude? I'm trying to give you a high five.
That's what his face said. Really? Can you trade me right now, please?
You know what, though? LeBron James, in that moment, I mean, he's playing for his playoff life. And it's all about his legacy. Nobody cares about Kevin Love's and Kyrie Irving. That's where, last night, LeBron James played like the best player on the planet. And he has played well throughout this series. The difference was Kyrie Irving's one of the, top 10, top 15 players in the NBA.
Yeah, LeBron
and
played well.
He played awesome.
But the fourth quarter, Irving took over. And
Irving at the end of that game, when he hit that three, then he hit that turnaround jumper that was Jordan-esque. That was a Michael Jordan move. If that guy plays like that, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
I just feel like they have two really good players. I agree LeBron is the best player in the game, probably. Golden State has two of the great players in the game, but also three or four guys that are really, really good.
Good role players. They got some good players off the bench, too.
When you have Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, that guy's an all-star.
Livingston's a good player.
They have a better supporting cast, and they're not going to shoot like that, I don't think, again. So that's why I still think the Warriors will win.
I think the Warriors will win. It would surprise me if they didn't, but it really wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Cavs push it to a Game 7.
Do you think like Kevin Love now is toxic? I mean,
I just think he's – and obviously we've seen it play out with the Cavs, but Kevin Love, to me, was a guy with the Timberwolves who put up great numbers on a really bad team. And I'm not saying he's not very talented, but every NBA team – I mean, you're going to score at least 90 points. Every team's going to have a guy that averages 20, 22 points and 12 rebounds.
You know what I used to call that? I used to call it the Bubbles Hawkins syndrome. Bubbles Hawkins was a guy when the Nets were terrible, had like two 20-point games. Someone's got to score. Doesn't mean you're going to win. So that it's like it's the Bubbles Hawkins effect. But
Kevin Love, to me,
and he's passed away since, God rest his soul, and thoughts and prayers to the Hawkins family. But Kevin Love, if I were an NBA executive, I would like to have Kevin Love, but I would say he's not a big three guy. Like,
he's not a max contract guy.
You know what, Kevin? I want 14 rebounds a game from you. That's what I want. I don't need your perimeter game. I don't need a point forward. I need you to rebound the basketball because that's where he made his name.
Guess how many rebounds he had last night?
One, two.
He had three rebounds.
And how he played 30 minutes.
And two
right?
points. He played 33 minutes.
33 minutes. Three rebounds, 2 points. It's not going to get it done.
And you have to think, too, that if you look back at that trade, just moving forward, I understand that LeBron probably said, look, I'm not 23 years old. I'm getting to be in my 30s. My window is shorter. Kevin Love is a better option for the next 3 years, in theory, than Andrew Wiggins. But wouldn't you rather have Andrew Wiggins, this young, athletic wing who can play defense, at a much smaller price than a max contract Kevin Love, who in this series, it's just true. If you watch the games, they have played better when either Kevin Love wasn't there or is not as big of a factor.
See, that to me is the difficult. You think of all the sports, professional sports, it would be easier to turn around the franchise fortunes of your team, right? Because it's a smaller amount of players. And if you have, you need to get three stars. The key is, though, will they play together? Will it work? You know, as a Knicks fan, they've always gotten a guy who was coming off an injury or was past his prime who didn't mesh with the other guys on the team. And so it didn't work. That's the difficulty. How will Kevin Love blend with the team? If he's a guy who's setting screens and rebounding the ball and hitting his shots when he's open, then you got something.
And he is a matchup nightmare, a guy who's, what is he, 6'10", that can shoot it.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's a bad player. Obviously, but last night was different because Kyrie and LeBron just took over.
He's a really good player, but my thing is you can't find guys that rebound as well as he did. That was right. That was what he made his name on, and he's a pretty good shooter, but he's not like a big three where the offense is going to go through Kevin Love.
Yeah, you look at this series. Let's see. I guess it was game one. He had 17 points, 13 rebounds, and then he got the concussion. But after that, the production has been very low for Kevin Love.
I Googled during your conversation. I'm sorry I missed it all. But Bubbles Hawkins went to Illinois State University.
Redbirds.
I didn't know that.
ISU Redbirds, and holds their record for most points in a game.
Over 58. Doug Collins? Because Doug Collins went to ISU.
Bubbles Hawkins. I know Doug Collins did, but Bubbles Hawkins.
That's Bradley's big rival, the War on 74.
Dropped 58 in a college basketball game.
It's pretty amazing.
And has that record over Doug Collins.
And so when the Nets were awful, I'm thinking.
70s.
I think he played with Collins. 72-73. And he died in 93, you're right. But I don't remember him at all.
Yeah, he was.
Bubbles Hawkins.
Well, he was a guy that bounced around in the NBA a little bit, but when they needed some points, all of a sudden it was Bubbles Hawkins territory.
And that's the thing. On every team, if it's a bad Utah Jazz team or a bad New Jersey Nets team, there's always going to be that guy that averages 20-9. And that doesn't mean that if he was on a good team with two other good players, he'd probably be more like, you know, 12 points and 5 rebounds.
I agree. But I do think Kevin Love is a very talented player who can do a lot of things, but it doesn't seem like it's working out in Cleveland.
Well, we'll see what happens in Game 6 a week from tonight in Cleveland.
Man.
When do they play?
Thursday. Every single NBA game, except for between Games 3 and 4, where there was just one day off, there's 2 days off in between every other game of the NBA Finals.
Why?
Just to build the hype, I guess.
I think you probably get
better basketball when the guys have 2 days off, especially after traveling from California to Cleveland. I bet you the guys feel much better; their bodies are fresher, just like ours.
That is a grind, though. Travel. I mean, for any professional team.
Hey, a Sailor Jerry spiced rum is created in honor of Norman Sailor Jerry Collins, the undisputed father of the old school tattoo, a Navy vet who built his rep inking soldiers and sailors in World War II-era Honolulu, a true American icon and a stubborn son of a bitch who never compromised his standards or ideals. We make our rum to keep his legacy alive. Sailor Jerry. Spiced rum is made the old-school way, 92 proof, bold and smooth as hell. Sailor Jerry, my favorite read of all the reads we've done here.
Because you get to say SOB.
Ryan Kelly Morning After. Yeah, it's a good read.
It, and it's a part of the ad. I didn't think you could say that on the radio. But you just did.
I've said it many times, and Tim has, so I think we're good. That's one of those things where if you swear all the time, it loses its effect.
That's
but if
true.
You do it kind of, this is a tough product. This guy was a tough guy, World War II, Incan sailors. You kind of use that swear word, and it works in that setting. But like, if you do it all the time, it doesn't have the impact.
In a newsroom, I think you curse a lot.
So it loses its impact. But yeah.
Get me a camera, dang it. I got to get to Fenton North.
Darn it.
Fenton North.
Rascals. But when your dad dropped a big one, you knew, right?
Yeah.
It was just
a swear word?
Yeah.
I
remember the few times I heard my dad drop a certain word, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what did I do?
Yeah, serious. My son will rat me out. Like, if I'll curse under my breath, a few minutes later, I'll hear him reporting me to mom.
Not cool. Not cool, Tyler. Got to take a break. We have Brian Lawton coming up next, the former general manager and current NHL Network analyst, talking about the Blues hiring Mike Yeo to be the associate coach this next year and then take over for Ken Hitchcock for the next 3 years after that. We'll discuss that with Brian Lawton after the break on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC studio on CBS Sports 920, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 HD2.